If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." Thank God for his holy word. The title of my message today is The Best Way to Live. The best way to live. Now, you might be saying, "Pastor Tim, isn't it rather presumptuous of you to tell us the best way to live our lives?" Well, it would be if I was telling you. But my goal this morning is to share what the Word of God says. And I think the Word of God is the authority on how it's best for us to live. Don't you? Yes. Thank you for that affirmation. All right. Amen. The context of this passage is that Paul is near the end of his life. As he writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, he knows he will soon die, and so he reflects on his life. He reflects on how he lived. In another place, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." And so this morning, in these few verses, I think we find some keys to the best way to live our lives. Irrefutable principles that if we follow and if we make them guiding principles for our lives, I think we're going to live our lives the best way we can. How many want that this morning? Amen. I don't think anybody would say, if you ask them, "Well, you know, I want to live a mediocre life." You know, right? Would anybody say that? "I want to do okay. I want to live the best life I can." Don't you? Amen. Amen. So we're going to look at the best way to live and some aspects of that. First of all, Paul lets us know here from this passage that the best way to live is to live with abandon. To live with abandon. Paul says in verse 6, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering." What was a drink offering? Well, in the Old Testament, it was one of the offerings that the Israelites would offer to God. And a pitcher was filled with water, and also there was often wine in that mixture. And it would be poured out symbolically. Wine, of course, was a symbol of joy. And it would be poured out as a joyful offering to God, signifying that their lives belong to God and would be poured out in service to Him. And that's the idea here behind the Apostle Paul saying his life is being poured out like a drink offering. In other words, he's saying, "My life is being expended on behalf of Almighty God." What a beautiful picture. You see, the truth of the matter is, once we give our lives to Jesus Christ, once we receive Him as our Savior, our lives are not our own. How many know that this morning? As the Scripture says, we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. And Paul understood that. That's why he lived his life with abandon. What do I mean by that? that his life was abandoned to the purposes of Almighty God. His own desires, his own plans, his own agenda was forsaken, was jettisoned, if you will, in favor of being poured out in service to Almighty God. Boy, that's powerful this morning. You know, when Jesus called the disciples on the seashore, he was calling them away from their livelihoods. He was calling them away from really all that they knew, from the way of life that they knew. And he said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And what did they do? They left their nets by the seashore. And they followed him, and their lives would never be the same. I believe that the best life we can live is a life of abandon. A life that says, whatever my dreams, ambitions, desires, goals are, Lord, I cast them aside. Lord, I want to live with abandon. And there's the notion here of, you know, a drink offering, as I said, being poured out to the last drop. And, you know, there's a saying. How many know it's football season coming up? Jack always knows. Okay, he has it circled on his calendar. No. But there's a saying in sports, especially in football, he left it all out on the field. In other words, he gave every measure of effort in pursuing his goal. And that's a mentality we're talking about when we say live our lives with abandon. You know, we say yes to God in so many areas of life, but often there are areas of our life that we choose to reserve to ourselves. Well, I'm going to live this way. I'm going to follow this schedule. I'll get involved in a ministry if it's convenient. I'll say yes to God if it fits into my schedule. Paul didn't live that way. Paul said, I want to be poured out like a drink offering, so that at the end of my life, I held nothing back. Every drop was poured out of that pitcher. He alludes to that when he says, I'm being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. You know, when, and we don't always know when this life will end, do we? A lot of people have passed on in the past year and a half, almost 2 years. They didn't know their time of departure was coming close. But if we do, if we have an illness or if we're aware that life is short, it causes us to reflect, doesn't it? I had someone who had been through COVID say, and they recovered and they're fine, but they said to me, they said, you know, this makes you think. Makes you think about what you're investing your life in. And Paul realized that at the end of his life, it wouldn't matter how much wealth he accumulated. It wouldn't matter how high he climbed in the esteem of other people. You know, when you and I stand before God, he's not going to ask us how big our 401k was. He's not going to ask us if we enjoyed life, if we had enough creature comforts, if we had enough possessions. He's going to want to know, what have you done for me? Church, we need to live our lives with abandon. We need to live our lives saying, Lord, use every bit of me. Use my wealth, use my money, use my time, use my energy. We devote so much time and energy and finances to so many things, and that's not necessarily bad, but what are we giving to God? What are we offering to him? The potential, and we're not a large crowd today, but the potential that is in this room and the potential of those joining us online, if we were to be fully devoted to God and say, God, use me. Use every bit of me. Use every bit of my time, every bit of my finances. Lord, every bit of my energy. Lord, I give it all to you. Lord, use me. I abandon everything I desire, everything I plan, everything I look toward, everything I value in this earth. Lord, I just abandon it all. Lord, use me. Lord, spend me. Lord, pour me out like a drink offering. Do we realize the potential for the kingdom of God that could occur if we would have that kind of dedication? Paul said in Philippians 3, 7 and 8, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Niccolo Paganini was a great Italian violinist in the late 1700s to early 1800s. And in his will, he willed his instrument to his home city of Genoa, Italy. But he willed it with one condition. The violin was never to be played. It would simply be placed on display. And so they honored his wishes. But that is not good for a finely crafted stringed instrument. It needs to be used and handled regularly if its beauty and value are to be retained. And so what happened as a result of Paganini's request, his marvelous, finely crafted violin has become nothing more than a decaying instrument. It has wasted away as a museum piece. God did not save us and fill us with His Spirit and empower us so we could be museum pieces today. He wants to use us. He wants to use us. This morning, many of us have said to God, Lord, I turn everything over to you. Lord, I abandon everything over to you. If you've never said that, it's time, church. It's time. And for all of us, we can have a rededication. Say, Lord, I'm yours, lock, stock, and barrel. Lord, use me. Pour out every ounce of my life for your glory. Isn't it time that we live our lives with abandon to the purposes of Almighty God? I believe it is. What's the second aspect of the best way to live your life? It's this, to live with tenacity. To live with tenacity. In verse 7, Paul says these powerful words, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Three aspects here. First of all, he said, I have fought the good fight. The good fight. You know, we can get into fights over things that don't matter. You know? You ever been witness to a fight over things of no importance? Gets childish, doesn't it? But there's a good fight. There are things worth fighting for. What are you willing to fight for? Pastor Tim, you don't understand. You know, there's COVID, and boy, our culture is, in case you haven't noticed, our culture is anti-Christianity big time. And it's only getting worse. I'm stating the obvious. Pastor Tim, it's overwhelming. Yeah, but it's a good fight. What are we willing to fight for? Church, I think, by and large, with exceptions, we have lost our willingness to fight for things that matter. Are you willing to fight for your children who are away from God? Are you willing to fight for your marriage? Are you willing to fight for what goes on in your kids' schools? What are you willing to fight for? What price are we willing to pay to fight the good fight? The scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Church, we're in a fight today. The kingdom of darkness is waging war against the kingdom of light. We are in a battle today. Every day we wake up, it's a fight. It's a fight to walk with God. It's a fight to maintain our testimony. It's a fight to live by biblical values. And in many instances, we've abdicated the fight. We've said, I can't fight. Listen, if our ambition is just to go along to get along, just to live in peace and security and comfort, we may achieve that, but we're not living our best life. Paul was called to be an apostle, particularly an apostle to the Gentiles, and it was a fight. He was stoned. He had gangs of murderers after him. He had contracts out on his life. He was constantly opposed, misrepresented. But he said, I've been called to preach the gospel, and I'm going to fight. Church, we need to fight today. I don't mean as the world fights. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we don't wage war as the world does, but we fight with spiritual weapons. We fight on our knees. We sing that song. We sang it last week. When I fight on my knees. And a prayerless church is a defeated church. Some of us need to get back to regular prayer time because that's where the victory's won, on our knees. What are we willing to fight for? Paul said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. How many know the crown goes to those who finish? We start the race. There are no awards for starting a race. And this was one of Paul's favorite metaphors. He used it several times in Scripture about comparing the Christian life to running a race. There are no awards, there are no gold medals, there are no crowns for starting a race. God wants us to be finishers. But Pastor Tim, it gets hard sometimes. That makes it all the more worthwhile to be a finisher. There are some here today and some watching online. At one time, you were so on fire for God and you felt God calling you to get involved in a ministry and you were excited. Come on, remember that? You were excited to do something for God and you've seen God use you and you've seen God do great things for you. And man, you were excited. You said, I found my lane. You know, I found my niche, man, my ministry. And what happened? Life happened. You found out it wasn't always going to be easy. Right? Everybody's not going to pat me on the back. And, you know, and there's life, and there's work, and there's family obligations. And what happens? Our enthusiasm just kind of fizzles. You know, like a balloon with the air let out, just kind of fizzles. And we look back, and time goes by. We didn't mean for it to happen, but time goes by. And we look back, and we say, man, I was so on fire for God. I was running that race. What happened? Paul said, I finished the race. I didn't quit midstream. I didn't give up when it got tough. God wants us to be finishers today. God wants us to endure to the end. Yeah, but somebody said something about me and it wasn't very nice. Guess what? They're saying more things about you than you realize. You just haven't heard them all. If I quit pastoring this church because somebody said something about me that I didn't like, I'd have been out of here decades ago. Come on. We need to toughen up a little bit. We do it in other areas. We want that promotion. We want to move up the corporate ladder. We want to achieve some. Boy, we're going to finish. When it comes to the things of God, we need to be finishers. God calls you to do something. God calls you to a ministry. Don't quit because it gets tough, because somebody said something you didn't want to hear. You be faithful to the call God placed on your life. You finish the race. And then Paul says, I've kept the faith.
kept the faith.
I held on to my faith. And there's a lot that could be said here. But he was tenacious about keeping the faith. He didn't lose his faith in God when he was in prison. What did he do? He sang praises to God. I preached about that a few weeks ago. He sang praises to God at midnight. He didn't lose his faith when he was being stoned and left for dead. He kept his faith. When he was being maligned and lied about, he kept the faith. I believe keeping the faith has two components here. First of all, it's maintaining your faith in Almighty God. It's maintaining the strength of that connection. But it's also preserving that faith and passing that along. You see, what's at stake is just not our faith walk. What's at stake is what we're passing along to those around us. What are we passing along to our children? What are we preserving for them? Somebody said the church is always one generation away from dying out. We need to pass the faith along. And not just to children, but to spiritual children, to those around us. Paul said to Timothy in one place, the faith I've passed on to you, pass on to others, and so on. We are links, we are conduits in passing the faith along. So Paul said, I've fought the good fight. I've been a fighter. It hadn't been easy. I've been a fighter. I've finished my race. I'm a finisher. And I preserved or kept my faith. Heard a story about Zia Boyu, a Chinese mountain climber who first attempted to climb Mount Everest in 1975. He was forced back by the high altitude storms near the summit. And on that, as a result of that and receiving frostbite, he lost both his feet on that climb. That was his first attempt. But he kept trying without his 2 feet. And at age 69, on his fifth attempt, he conquered the 29,000 foot mountain. Only the third double amputee to succeed. He said it was a personal challenge, a challenge of fate. Wow. And you've heard extraordinary stories like that. He was a fighter. Are we willing to fight for what we believe? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9, 26 and 27, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. We need to live this life with some tenacity for God. Come on, church. I know I'm not exciting you too much today, but how many know I'm preaching the truth? Will you at least give me that much? Thank you. We need to be tenacious about our faith. We need to just be willing to fight, be willing to finish, be willing to hold the keep the faith. Hallelujah. What are you willing to fight for? What are you willing? What's a non-negotiable in your life? We all have non-negotiables. We all have things that we say, oh no, there's nothing can change my mind on that. That's how Paul was. We need to live our lives with a tenacity that says, I'm going to hold on to the end. I'm going to fight whatever fight I need to fight. I'm going to finish. I'm going to keep the faith. What's the third aspect of living our best life? It's this. We need to live with anticipation. Live with anticipation. In verse number 8, Paul said, now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. The crown here was the crown of righteousness. Paul said, there is a reward coming my way. As I said a few minutes ago, when we stand before God, he's not going to ask how successful were our earthly achievements. But he's going to reward us on the basis of how faithful we were in serving him. A crown of righteousness. And Paul said, not only to me, but for all those who love the Lord's appearing. Church, we forget sometimes, or we lose focus sometimes on this, because there's so much, as I said earlier, so much noise and so many things grabbing for our attention. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus is coming back. We don't know when. Jesus said he himself didn't know when. Jesus is coming back. Do we believe that? Amen. Hallelujah. We need to remind ourselves of that. Let me ask you something. If you knew that 12 noon tomorrow Jesus would return, and you don't have to answer this, but if you knew 12 p.m. tomorrow Jesus will return, would that affect how you live your life tonight and tomorrow morning? Would it make a difference? I see heads nodding. Well, you know what? I don't know that Jesus is returning at noon tomorrow. But he could. He could return at midnight tonight. Do we believe that? So, doesn't it behoove us to live our lives every single day and every single moment in light of the fact that Jesus is coming soon? That he's going to return. Doesn't that affect how we live our lives, our morality, our way of life? Doesn't that affect our urgency to bring our loved ones into the fold, to have them receive Christ? I think it should, because Jesus is coming back. And Paul lived his life with anticipation. Let me remind you, folks, this life is not all there is. The Bible says in one place, life is a vapor. I've mentioned that before, and I've squirted a little, from a spray bottle, a little vapor in the air. How long does a vapor last in the air? 2 seconds? Compared to all eternity, this life is that brief. It's a vapor. Church, we need to remind ourselves of this truth. This life is a vapor. We are. This life, as someone said, is dress rehearsal for eternity. And Paul was living with anticipation. Everything Paul did, during the triumphs, during the difficulties, Paul constantly had in mind, the Lord is coming. I'm going to see him. I'm going to stand before him. He's going to present me with a reward based on my faithfulness to him. The Lord is coming. He was living with anticipation. Someone said sometimes, well, you don't want to be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. I don't think that's a problem for most of us. I think it's the other way around. I think we're so earthly minded, it's hard to keep our focus on the eternal. In Philippians 3, 13 through 14, Paul said, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Whether or not you think you have a comfortable life or a good life, I hope you do. But it's paltry, it's pitiful compared to eternity with Christ. Someone used this example. You have a big feast in your home, a Thanksgiving Day feast, with turkey and potatoes and perfect gravy and vegetables and pies and bread and all that stuffing, all that good stuff. I know we're getting close to lunch hour, but stay with me. And you invite your friends, and a friend comes, and you're all about to sit down at the table, and he says, sorry, I'm not really hungry. I was hungry on the way here, and I stopped and got a bologna sandwich and some chips. You would think he lost his mind, wouldn't you? Bologna sandwich and chips instead of a feast. And that's how we are. We're down here and we are just so thrilled with this bologna sandwich and chips of a life we have. When God has a feast for us. It's called eternity with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. You could be a king, you could be a millionaire or a billionaire, you could have everything, have your health, have everything you want at your disposal. It's still a bologna sandwich and chips compared to a feast in eternity. Hallelujah. Don't settle for a bag lunch when you can have a feast. How do we need to live our lives? In conclusion this morning, we need to live with abandon. Let God pour out every ounce of your life for His use. Pastor Tim, but there's a pandemic. Listen, there's no moratorium on souls going to hell in the middle of a pandemic. Do you know that? Hell doesn't close. As a matter of fact, tens of thousands of people who don't know the Lord have been ushered into hell during this pandemic. So what are we concerned about? Let God pour out every ounce of your life for His use. Live with abandon. Secondly, live with tenacity. It's not always easy. It's a fight sometimes to stand up for your values, to hold to them. Fight. Finish. Finish what you started. You make a commitment, stick to it, whether it's communion or not. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. Be tenacious. Be willing to fight. Thirdly, we need to live with anticipation. This life is not all there is. We need to keep our eyes on the prize. It's going to be worth it all someday. This life will be a dim memory as we celebrate in the presence of God and we live life. And listen, heaven's going to be awesome. Amen. Well, we're just going to be floating around in clouds and playing harps. No, we're not. It's going to be all the best things of this life multiplied by billions. It's going to be awesome. Let's live with anticipation. Let's live in the light of the fact that Jesus could return anytime. I believe with abandon, with tenacity, and with anticipation, I believe that's the best way to live.